decision, America versus Dung P. Thai.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Adam Stevenson, and I represent the appellant, Ms. Yung T. This case is about a young mother, her daughter, a family thousands of miles away, and the significant impact of the sentence on each. The family is involved in two particular areas of the sentence. First, despite federal law requiring it to do so, the district court failed to consider an applicable guidelines policy statement discussing a defendant's family circumstances. 18 U.S.C. 3553A requires a district court to consider applicable United States sentencing guidelines policy statements. Defense counsel and Ms. T. both brought this matter before the court both pre-sentence and during the sentencing hearing itself. The unique and significant situation of losing both parents to significant periods of incarceration leading to a forced cross-country move fulfills the needs for a compelling and unique family circumstances argument at sentencing. Nevertheless, the district court failed to consider this aspect or the policy statement guiding the court. In addition, the sentence is substantively unreasonable in light of the impact of Ms. T's sentence on her family and young daughter. In addition to the horrible impacts of losing both parents in the forced cross-country move, Ms. T and her family's culture exacerbates the stress and pain the family experiences. Again, Ms. T's prior counsel and Ms. T herself brought this matter before the district court, again, pre-sentence and during the sentencing hearing. And research demonstrates that the Vietnamese culture does, in fact, exacerbate the stress that the young daughter and elders in the family would experience. This alone makes the sentence greater than necessary to meet federal sentencing purposes. For these reasons and the reasons in her briefs, Ms. T respectfully requests this court vacate her sentence as both procedurally erroneous, substantively unreasonable, and remand for further proceedings. Turning to my first point, under 3553A5, federal law requires a district court to consider applicable guidelines policy statements. In this case, such a policy statement exists, United States Sentencing Guideline 5H1.6, where the court can review family circumstances that are unique or compelling with regard to a loss of financial support or caregiving that exceed the usual case. In Jackson, this court noted that though the idea of departures has gone by the wayside following Booker, a court should still continue to consider these policy statements in its overall 3553A analysis. Further, this court itself considered guideline policy statements when reviewing a defendant's psychological arguments with regard to mitigating his prior criminal history, as well as his offense conduct relating to several bank robberies. In this situation, Ms. T's family circumstances meet the need for a unique or compelling family circumstance. As this court noted in Gary, though the loss of one parent may be an unfortunate though frequent occurrence in a criminal case, losing both parents to incarceration, especially out of the same criminal case, is in fact unique. Further, because of the need to move the young child from Wisconsin to California to provide for caregiving, during the child's formative years, she was 2 years old at the time of the pre-sentence investigation report. That further demonstrates that this is not a typical family circumstances argument that a usual defendant may raise in the district court.
The only reference the court made to her was that she was, her family circumstances was the fact that she was a young mother who showed promise as a high school student but ultimately dropped out.
Correct, Your Honor. As simply describing her, basically, instead of calling her by name, saying, you're a young mother, not explaining why that factors into to the need for deterrence or lack of need for deterrence or the need for public safety or for the defendant's characteristics or nature. This is procedurally insufficient to meet 3553A's requirements of applying or at least considering that policy statement or the underlying argument that both Ms. T and prior counsel raised in the district court. As this court noted in Schroeder, 5H1.6 analysis focuses on the impact on the family. So in this case, Ms. T's very young daughter and during her formative years, Ms. T's elderly mother and the rest of her family out in California. And that leads well to my second point, the fact that in light of Ms. T's family circumstances as well as the cultural impacts thereon, The sentence is substantively unreasonable under 3553A. In this situation, this court noted in Guzman that though it questioned cultural arguments based upon the culture of the defendant, it was not ruling that the court could not consider them. In fact, Judge Ripple in dissent noted that because culture defines an individual's behavior, common characteristics, and others apart from such things as race, sex, and other immutable characteristics, culture should be something that a court considers at sentencing in the proper case. This is such the case. As Drs. Nguyen and Williams both noted, that the Vietnamese culture is strongly filial in that its relationships are from one generation to the next. In this case, from Ms. T's young daughter to Ms. T herself, and then onward from Ms. T to her elders, her mother, and her parents. In this case, the court removed that central link in the chain, Ms. T, during Ms. T's young daughter's formative years. The doctors also demonstrate that this is more significant, in fact, in young women in the Vietnamese culture, where interactions between the grandchildren, granddaughters, and grandmothers is significantly stressful. This is further influenced by the fact that Ms. Huang, Ms. T's mother in California, does not speak English, whereas Ms. T's young daughter only speaks English at this point, leading to further difficulties in communications and caregiving. A lesser sentence or a sentence structured to reflect this family circumstance but yet still provide adequate deterrence, such as a split sentence in this case, would sufficiently meet the federal sentencing purposes, but not be greater than necessary to impact both Ms. T as well as her family and young daughter.
Now the court recommended that she serve the below guideline range sentence as close as possible to her family and in a residential reentry center, with recommendations that allowed for outside trips. Is that right?
That is correct, Your Honor. However, there's still a significant portion of confinement prior to that residential reentry center ability, and that still requires the young daughter to endure the move to California while she is under 10, during kind of a formative years where she is developing her cultural understanding and growing as a young child. So the move itself to California and then the return trip back to Madison, Wisconsin, following the incarceration, again during the child's early years, was a significant disruption upon the young child. Caregiving was considered in the sentence, but again, it's greater than necessary given the fact that it forced both the move as well as the return trip and a significant period without that kind of intermediary between the young daughter and her grandmother. For the significant impacts of the sentence, both on Ms. T and the ripple effects felt by both her daughter and her mother and family, as well as the items in her briefs, Ms. T respectfully asks this court vacate her sentences, both procedurally unreasonable and substantively unreasonable. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Peter Yarsh for the United States. From reading the defendant's briefs, he basically wants the court here to develop a new rule. And that rule would be that it's error for the district court not to specifically address arguments that were dropped at the sentencing, affirmatively withdrawn, arguments that were never brought up, and arguments that were never fully developed. And he does this while ignoring the specific findings the court did make. And that is just simply not the law. As an initial matter, the government notes that the defendant waived his affirmative objection to the role in the offense. He withdrew all guideline objections prior to sentencing. And most importantly, he did that for a tactical reason. He did not want to lose acceptance of responsibility. So what he preserved at most was this sort of role in the offense guideline for the purposes of 3553A factors. And that's why I say he ignores the specific findings the court made in that regard. The court found all of the things that Ms. T did, allowing her business to be used, knowing that the items were being photographed, knowing the cards were being trafficked, and knowing, indeed, that she herself was using the stolen cards for her own purposes.
And assuming you win on that point, can you just address the point that he made on the 3553A factors, where the only thing he said about her personally really other than her role in the offense, was the fact that she had gone to high school and dropped out and not done well.
Well, there's...
Because there's nothing in there about the culture, about the child having to move across country, about the...
Well,
you know,
yes, I will, Your Honor. And in that regard, the first factor that he raised was the 5H1.6, which was the fact that he's claiming the impact on the family. But he showed nothing to indicate that this was extremely unusual. In other words, that this was more onerous on this family than the other family. That's the only thing that matters under 5H1.6.
I think his argument would be that both parents got removed, and because of the language barrier and the move across the country, that's what made it a different circumstance.
But Ms. T's mother-in-law, or the mother of the father in this case, took care of the child beforehand, said she would take care of the child afterwards, and would continue to take care of the child. All that was before the court. The court gave a 5-month below the uncontested guideline sentence. There's nothing to think that was not addressed. To the extent it was brought up at all by the defense, that was addressed in terms of addressing her characteristics and who she was and in the family situation. But there's nothing to indicate that specifically not addressing that argument, that one particular argument, as if that would carry the day, is somehow error by not making a specific finding regarding the impact of the sentence on the family. It was taken into consideration in the sense that the court knew about it, provided a below-guideline sentence, and made accommodations for her incarceration, which recognized those sort of situations. But it isn't the situation where the court somehow committed error simply because it did not address every argument not brought up below specifically and not fully developed. At the sentencing, the only thing that was brought up about her Vietnamese culture was Mr. Eisenberg, the attorney below, said she's Vietnamese. He hasn't shown why that is a bigger deal. Now, he's bringing up all sorts of arguments now and all sorts of things now. But if you would believe what the defendant is saying, this sentencing should have lasted probably close to, 3 days? Because the court would have specifically, under the defendant's theory, had to have gone through each argument, whether brought up or not, mentioned each 3553A factor specifically, whether brought up or not, and every other possible factor that could have arisen under the sun. And this court does not require that. It does not require the court to address arguments that are going to be disregarded. It doesn't require the court to address arguments that aren't specifically brought up. The sentence, or the third error, besides the cultural background and the 5H1.6 error, was that there should have been a split sentence given. And again, in that regard, never brought up and never given. What you have is the defendant believing there might be a more reasonable sentence than the 5 months below the lowest end of the uncontested guidelines sentence should be. And he's got in his mind what an alternative sentence should be, but an alternative sentence doesn't mean that the present sentence is unreasonable. And that's the factor here. The defendant waived his guidelines argument. The court made sufficient findings on the other 3553A factors and addressed the arguments. And for that reason, the government would request that the court here affirm the district court order of conviction and judgment. Thank you.
Yes. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. I'd just like to cover 2 points in rebuttal. First, with regard to any implication or suggestion that Ms. T has waived arguments on the substance of her sentence, that's simply not the case under this court's rulings. Under Castro Juarez, this court noted that to force a defendant to object to a sentence based upon substantive unreasonability is itself unreasonable and would result in formulaic objections on the part of defense counsel and would greatly would require great amounts of district court time to address formulaic arguments.
But I just reviewed the sentencing transcript, and all these things, as the government says, you're arguing now, none of these things are really in the transcript that were raised before the district court, these various factors. No detail about the Vietnamese culture, no detail about the language
barrier. Mr. Eisenberg did raise, if I may, Your Honor, Mr. Eisenberg did discuss the Vietnamese culture, as did Ms. T, in that she has no support at this time and others. As far as the research, no, they were not brought up. But it is a defendant's burden on appeal to demonstrate that a sentence is substantively unreasonable under 3553, and that is what the research and other factors demonstrate supporting the substantive argument. Further, with regard to the argument that we in some way
said about the Vietnamese culture. It comes in because she doesn't have a lot of support in this matter because of her culture. She hasn't told her mother. She's embarrassed. She's ashamed. She's caused him shame. She hasn't told his brother. Dang's mother has been watching the child, and she's going to continue to watch the child while she's in prison. I'm just trying to focus on where some of these specific arguments you made were actually made to the district court.
Yes, Your Honor, as well as in the pre-sentence memoranda submitted by counsel as well. There were arguments along the same lines. With regard to the procedural argument, the government attempts to apply waiver of a different argument to the argument Ms. T is attempting to make. Ms. T definitely did forfeit the argument, but did not intentionally waive it. The district court under Anderson needs, or the court of appeals under Anderson needs to find both intent and a strategic purpose related to the waiver of the particular argument. The dollar amount argument that was in fact waived and removed from the district court's consideration is a separate and wholly different argument than the one Ms. T raises on appeal. And finally, with regard to the suggestion that in some way the family circumstances, and I see my time is up if I may briefly finish, with regard to the care by the mother-in-law, that being in some way mitigating on the uniqueness of the argument, Ms. T's mother-in-law is also Vietnamese, as well as not being directly family per se, if you will. So that in no way mitigates the unique and compelling nature of this family argument and the effects of the sentence. For these reasons, Ms. T respectfully requests the court vacate her sentence. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.